Hello, and welcome to the next in Kat and Mutch and Rosenman's series of podcasts on topics in commercial aircraft finance, leasing, and trading. Through this series, we at Kat hope to educate legal and business professionals in the basics of various agreements that are essential to this field. I am Nicole Comer. Today, we focus on aircraft operating lease agreements. A lease is an agreement by a lessor to transfer possession of the aircraft to the lessee for a specified period in exchange for specified periodic payments. Roughly speaking, in an operating lease, the parties intend that the lessee return the aircraft to the lessor at the end of the term of the lease. In a finance lease, by contrast, the parties intend that the ownership of the aircraft will pass to the lessee at the end of the term. In that regard, a finance lease may be thought of not as a lease at all in substance, but a method of providing financing to the economic owner of the aircraft, who is actually the lessee. Aircraft leasing typically shifts most or all risks and costs of possessing and operating the aircraft to the lessee during the term. The lessee will be required to bear the risk of loss of or damage to the aircraft, indemnify and insure the lessor against third-party liabilities, and bear most or all costs of operating and maintaining the aircraft attributable to the lessee's use of the aircraft. Today, we have selected three provisions of an aircraft operating lease to explain to you. First, we discuss maintenance reserves. Next, we discuss insurance. And finally, we discuss return conditions and return compensation. First up is maintenance reserves. The Airline Safety Authority in the United States, the Federal Aviation Administration, will require that the airline maintain, repair, and overhaul aircraft in its fleet in accordance with a Safety Authority-approved maintenance program, which is usually based on the aircraft manufacturer's standard maintenance program. But the Safety Authority's concern is passenger and public safety. The Safety Authority does not require that maintenance be performed on an aircraft that is not operated. The lessor, on the other hand, wants the aircraft to be properly maintained, repaired, and overhauled so that the aircraft maintains its value. The lessor will so require in the lease. But aircraft maintenance is expensive. Along with fuel, it is one of the airline's major expenditures. If during the term of the lease an airline is in even moderate financial distress, it may not have on hand the funds necessary to pay for the required maintenance procedures. To alleviate this risk, an aircraft operating lease to any but a stellar credit airline will typically contain provisions for the periodic payment by the lessee of maintenance reserves. A maintenance reserve is a sinking fund. The lease requires that the lessee make payments to the lessor every month based on the lessee's utilization of the aircraft during the prior month. The lessee makes a separate payment of reserves for the maintenance of the airframe, each engine, and certain other components. A separate reserve will be maintained for each engine because if an engine is removed from the airframe, its utilization will not match that of the airframe. For each engine, there will be a separate maintenance reserve for overhauls or performance restoration shop visits and for replacement of life-limited parts, which are parts such as fan blades that are required to be scrapped and replaced after a specified number of cycles. The payments are calculated so that once a component is due for a maintenance event, the lessee will have paid an amount roughly sufficient to pay the cost of the event. The lessor will then pay the lessee or its maintenance vendor the cost of performing the maintenance event. At the end of the lease term, any unused maintenance reserves may normally be retained by the lessor as its property to compensate the lessor for the reduction in value of the aircraft attributable to the lessee's utilization of the aircraft since the last shop visit. Let's give us a hypothetical example. Let's assume each aircraft engine will come due for a performance restoration shop visit after 2,000 cycles of utilization. A cycle is defined as one takeoff and landing of the aircraft. Let's further assume that the cost of the shop visit is $2 million. The lease would provide then that the lessee must pay the lessor $1,000, which is $2 million divided by 2,000, for each cycle of operation of the aircraft by the lessee. So, if in a given month the lessee operates the aircraft 100 cycles, Then, in the following month, the lessee will pay the lessor $100,000, 100 cycles multiplied by $1,000 per cycle. Over time, once the lessee has operated the aircraft 2,000 cycles, the lessee will have paid into the engine maintenance reserve the $2 million assumed cost of the shop visit. The lessor will pay lessee the lesser of the cost of the shop visit and the maintenance reserve balance following the lessor's receipt of satisfactory documentation of completion of the shop visit. For used aircraft, the lease term may begin when airframe, an engine, or other component has little life remaining until the next shop visit. In such a case, the lessee would not be expected to pay the full cost of that shop visit and be reimbursed only the reserves the lessee had paid in over the short period lessee had been leasing the aircraft up to that time. In such a case, the lease will normally provide that the lessor will also contribute to the cost of the first shop visit in each category an amount of money equal to the utilization of the aircraft since the last shop visit before the term of the lease began, multiplied by the maintenance reserve rate. This should be essentially equal to the unused reserve for that category of shop visit paid to the lessor by the prior lessee. Next, we discuss insurance. The airline's regulatory authority will require that the airline carry certain liability insurance for the aircraft in its fleet. The lease will require that the lessee carry more comprehensive insurance on the aircraft at lessee's expense throughout the term of the lease. At the beginning of the term of the lease, the lessee will deliver an insurance certificate and an undertaking letter from the lessee's insurance broker, demonstrating that the lessee is carrying insurance on the aircraft complying with the requirements of the lease. Typically, the lessee is required to have two types of insurance, hull and liability. Hull insurance protects against loss or major damage to the aircraft. It is carried in an amount agreed by lessor and lessee that is roughly equal to the market value of the aircraft. Liability insurance protects the lessor and lessee against third-party liability claims for death or injury arising from accident. This insurance is carried in a higher amount than hull insurance and is usually a multiple of the number of seats on the aircraft. For larger mainline aircraft, liability insurance over $1 billion per aircraft will be maintained. The hull and liability coverage will also insure against war risks such as from terrorist incidents. This insurance became largely unavailable on the commercial insurance markets after 9/11, and the FAA and government agencies in other countries stepped in for a time to provide war risk coverage. Sometimes lessors will seek political risk insurance on a leased aircraft. This is protection against the inability to repossess an aircraft from a defaulting airline as a result of failure of the airline's home country to cooperate with a repossession from a defaulting airline. This insurance is infrequently obtained, however, because it is expensive for the countries in which it may be most needed, and lessees would not typically be required to pay for it. The final topic of today's episode is return conditions and return compensation. When the lease has expired, the aircraft must be redelivered to the lessor at a specified location in a specified condition. In addition to the requirement that the aircraft be returned in full compliance with the lessee's maintenance program, the lessee must return the aircraft in a condition that both, one, allows the lessor to place the aircraft with the next operator, and two, compensates the lessor for the diminution in the value of the aircraft as a result of the lessee's utilization of the aircraft during the lease term below the condition that the lessor assumes in calculating its anticipated residual value of the aircraft. For the first concept, the lease will normally require that the lessee return the aircraft with at least 25% of the life remaining on each of the airframe, engine, and other components until the next scheduled shop visit. This will allow the aircraft to be sold or leased to another operator who will be able to use the aircraft in revenue service for a significant period before the aircraft has to be removed from service for the next shop visit. For the second concept, the lease may require that the aircraft be delivered in half-life condition. This means that the airframe, engines, and components must be with the equivalent of at least half-life remaining until the next shop visit. so the lessee may return the aircraft with the airframe having only less than 50%, but more than 25% of its life remaining to the next overhaul. If the airframe has, say, 30% of life remaining, the lessee will be required to make a payment to the lessor at the time lessee redelivers the aircraft equal to 20%, 50% minus 30% of the cost of an airframe overhaul. The payments are calculated very similarly to airframe maintenance reserve payments. Usually the airline will be allowed to apply any maintenance reserve balance remaining at the end of the lease term to any return condition payment. Conversely, if the lessee returns the airframe with more than 50% of life remaining to the next overhaul, the lessee may receive a credit against return condition payments that the lease lessee owes with respect to other aircraft components. I hope you enjoyed learning more about aircraft operating lease agreements. Please visit the CATN websites for more podcasts in our series on topics in aircraft finance, leasing, and trading.